Hello, I'm Rachel Roberts.
And I'm Megan Segura.
And we're digital producers at Bravo, and this is The Daily Dish.
Another jam-packed week. You know, some places summer's a little quiet, a little slow. Not here.
No, not here
on the podcast.
At all. We got premieres, reunions.
Action for days.
For days.
Oh, speaking of reunions, I went to the Roni reunion.
Oh my God. I've heard some of it, but tell me everything that you can.
I can tell you like nothing except that Tinsley was really nervous.
Okay.
Because I talked to all of them ahead of time. She seemed super nervous and, you know, was a little quiet, but I think she also like really did, you know, speak up when she needed to.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That surprises me because I felt like, as I've seen her so far this season, she's been very overwhelmed. And of all places to be overwhelmed, it would be at the reunion. So I'm glad that she, like, stuck up for herself.
Found out a bit more about what was happening in Bethany's marriage during this season. Well, not marriage, but, you know, with her ex. But I am not even sure what's going to be kept
included.
In. But I hope everything, because it was very illuminating.
I know the venue was at where SJP got married.
Yeah, it's called the Angel Orizons, or is it? Yeah, Angel Orizons, something like that. Beautiful. It's like the oldest synagogue in New York City. Can't wait for everyone to see it.
So did everyone cry?
No, definitely not everyone.
Oh. Who cried the most? Can we reveal that?
I'm trying.
There were definitely tears, is what you're saying.
Yeah, but not a profuse amount. And on the whole, even though it was super compelling every second, it wasn't one of those screaming reunions.
It wasn't season four.
Right. Like, there are screaming moments, but it's not like the whole thing where you're just like, what did I just go through?
Right.
Yeah, that was really good.
Did any relationships, do you think, change because of the reunion?
Yeah, that's hard to say, I think, always. Because, like, with this group, the things they don't like about each other
are just who they are.
It's who they are.
Right,
so it's
right.
Really just, like, figuring out how to work around it.
Interesting. Or, like, accept that this is who they are.
Right. My favorite part, though, and obviously I could never say what was said, was Andy coming back into the control room, like, in breaks to be like, oh, my God, can you believe this? Can you believe that? And, like, just sitting there and hearing that, it was just, I felt giddy.
Yes.
Like, drunk off of the power of just, like, knowing this information.
Oh, my God. It was the same way when I was at the Dallas reunion last year. He came into the control room a lot because it was, like, a crazy day. And it was, like, everything he said, I was, like, on the edge of my seat, like, straining to hear.
Right, like, you're not, you're trying to play it cool.
Right.
I don't care what's being said.
What? I'm not going to report on this maybe later, but.
And really, all I can think is, like, 3 years ago, Megan would be peeing herself.
Oh, I know. I think about that all the time, too. My first time I ever met Andy was, like, 6 years ago now. I went to a reading of his in Bryant Park with Willie Geist.
Oh.
And it was before I interned here or did anything here, and I was like, I just want to work at Bravo. And now look at me. It's like really embarrassing, but you know.
Yeah. That happens. I don't think so. Dreams come true.
Yeah. Here's proof. Speaking of dreams coming true,
we have a lot of great interviews this week. We talked to Lydia from Real Housewives of Orange County. We also have a final look at this season of The Real Housewives of Potomac with Gisele Bryant. You did that interview.
I did. She is always a blast to have in the office. She's like exactly who she is on camera. Like, she's just as fun. She's just as snappy and witty. She's just as much like, she's just as opinionated. Like, she's just a blast to interview. She's a blast in a glass.
You know, our conversation with Siggy Flicker last week got us thinking about relationships. But not our personal relationships. Relationships with our listeners.
Yes.
This has been feeling very one-sided. This has been feeling very one-sided, and we need to hear from you. Communication is key. I sounded like Rachel just then. Like, that's totally your
the way
cadence.
I talk.
Yeah.
By the time we talk again next week, I want you to find one nice thing to say about us. There's, I mean, so many things you could say. We love your hair. We love your eyes. We love, you don't know any of this because you don't know what we look like. But our voices, at least you know. So go to iTunes or wherever you're listening to this podcast right now and tell us what you think of us. And we'll shout out a few adoring fans next week. And we will also clap back at the haters. So just a warning.
Yeah. Okay, enough of us fishing for compliments. Let's get into this week's shows.
Kicking things off with a new season, Shaws of Sunset is back.
Cut a lot of chicks.
Every time it comes back and that song comes on, I'm like, oh, I forgot that this is so good.
But what? It's got a lot of girls.
Cut a lot of checks.
Because I've always thought it's cut a lot of girls, cut a lot of checks.
You told me this like 2 years ago and it's still so funny. They're still cutting checks and there's still a lot of girls.
Getting girls, yeah.
So we ended last season with, like, a lot of relationships super rocky.
And it feels, for me, as such a fan of the show, like it's been forever since we've seen, you know, gotten an update on Shaws.
Right. Oz has already had her baby.
Right, in real time. Yeah. Okay, so let's start with that.
She is pregnant, and she's, no one can tell because she always wears caftans, which I love. I want to, how do you become a person that always wears caftans? Because that just seems like the best life.
I mean, I don't know. We need to ask her and Patricia.
I know. Ugh, that's the goal, really.
Right.
I'm super happy for her. She seems super happy. Everyone else?
Question mark?
Question mark.
Okay, MJ's home.
Oh, my God. At first, I was like, why would she, she's so excited to move here. And then when I saw that her mother is living upstairs.
So, you know, Reza has said in the episode that he's concerned about the state in which MJ is living because he feels like it's weird that she hasn't already renovated the apartment. And I was like, okay, I can see that. But then when MJ's mom, who now lives upstairs,
I couldn't believe
comes
that.
Down and immediately starts criticizing it.
Why you guys have all these boxes in the middle? I mean, what are you doing? You two didn't want to even put 30 minutes effort and get rid of the boxes.
I loved Tommy's reaction.
Me too. Like, I was so like, this is who MJ needs.
Your father's sick in a hospital. This looks nuts. Do you hear yourself?
Exactly. Like, I was like, yes, she has found the right guy. I am so glad that he's sticking up for her.
Because seriously, her father's in the hospital. Who cares if your home is painted or the furniture is set up?
Like, right, right. Or if you have to put your drink on the floor instead of a coffee table. Like, right. I don't think her priorities right now are, I need to buy a coffee table for my half-renovated apartment.
Right.
Because also, why would you want to get all the furniture in it if you're going to be doing construction or whatever?
Right.
Even that logically doesn't make any sense, Vita.
MJ's reaction to Asa's pregnancy was a little heartbreaking for me.
Right.
Because on one hand, MJ is saying, I don't want a baby right now. But like her tears are saying another story.
Right.
Thank you.
Mashallah, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
I'm very happy for you.
Touch it.
Oh my God. I never in a million years thought that Asa was going to get pregnant first.
And it makes sense that like, right now in her life, it doesn't make sense to have a baby because, like, I think she wants to get married first. I think that her dad is in the hospital. I think that her apartment right now is kind of not in the shape to, like, welcome a baby necessarily. So she, in, like, 6 months, maybe. It's not, like, not soon, but because Asa's already pregnant, she's just like, oh, she's having the life that I want.
It's become so clear to me over the last few years because people like on my personal like Facebook friends are a lot more open about their infertility struggles. Mm. And like there's a few people I know and they're very open about how someone else announcing they're pregnant, it brings up a lot of emotions.
Right.
Whether you struggle with that or not, I think whenever someone gets pregnant in your friend group, it makes you reevaluate where you are in your life.
Oh, totally. And especially if, like, that's what you want.
Right.
You're just like, oh, I want it even more now.
Right.
Just like Adam. Just yeah. Like Adam and Reza. Like, having, I loved when Reza was like,
babe, is Adam gonna be dying?
Dying? You just jacked up my life in a big way. You know, we were on the 5-year plan.
I'm about to bring joy into your life. Babe, get to it.
Oh, I just wrote ass down because they bleached their ass in this episode. Yeah. Our friend at work didn't know that people did this, which I found shocking because I feel like this is like old hat now. Like, I've heard about bleaching ass for like ever.
Yeah, because I mean, isn't that like something from very, I don't know, early 2000s?
Yeah, yeah. Like, everyone was doing it in 2001, right?
Right. She was like, so what is it? You're just bleaching the hair around it? And we're like, no. You're bleaching the actual hole.
Right, which is why we saw the hair removal process.
Right. And she's just like, it was just so funny. She's like, why would anyone do that?
I don't think Reza gets it either. So you're not alone.
But like, my God, that camera operator was real up in there.
I know. I was watching in the gym and I was like, I don't know about this. I don't want anyone to see what I'm watching. They're going to think I'm like, I don't know.
But Destiny is in this episode.
I know. Destiny from People's Couch, my girl. I used to work on People's Couch and I would email all of them all the time. And she was the best.
It's so weird, though, because, I mean, she watched and probably talked about this show on People's Couch, and now she's on it.
That's what I was thinking, too.
So meta.
So meta. And I don't think this is the last we'll see of Destiny. I think we're going to see more of her.
We actually talked to MJ earlier this week, and we'll have that interview for you next week. Stay tuned.
Back where it all began, back to the OC. Woohoo! 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 Nine lemons in a bowl! But there were no nine lemons in a bowl this episode.
Well, that's probably the most shocking thing about this episode.
True.
And forget. Then Kelly's fruit bowl was just, ugh.
That is why you have fruit flies, Kelly. Mystery solved.
Because it was so funny. They did a shot of it, and I was like, I see like a lot of brown. And then she's like picking through, and she's like, oh, it's all rotten.
Which I understand if you're a busy lady.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, that's why I just can't have fruit in my
house.
Right,
no, I had the same thing with me. I'm just terrible about food in general. Oh, okay. Let's start off with the new housewife.
What do you think of her?
I think she's beautiful. I enjoy diamonds, so that was fun to see. When she opened up about her double mastectomy.
My surgery was very recent.
Look at you. Like, are you feeling okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. I mean, my mom passed away from breast cancer.
Oh, wow.
So to avoid going through that, I just went all out and I did the double mastectomy.
I immediately thought of Vicky and I was like, is this going to become
A thing?
A thing for the later in the season, because we saw what happened with Megan.
Right.
Is that similar thing going to happen with Peggy? I wonder how much she knows about Vicky.
Well, especially because when you have Tamara and Shannon who are still talking about Brooks.
Right. Still talking about Brooks. Still talking about the lying on somebody's side, you know? I can't imagine that if you're just going through this.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to put these dots together. I don't know who it's going to be.
Right.
But I can't imagine that they won't.
Good point.
But I loved her. I think she's going to be, like, a really fun addition to the
cast.
Plus,
anyone that has, like, some over-the-top, like, flashy lifestyle.
Yes.
I just love to watch.
Me too.
Like, and a $46,000 diamond necklace. That is so relatable.
I also loved that her husband was like, don't tell them how old I am.
My husband is Deco Sulahian. He told me not to say the age. But he's 50.
Right. Like, and then she still did it.
I know. I love, like, male vanity. But we also saw, this is kind of new, Lydia and Shannon meet. I mean, that was, like, the big thing this episode.
Oh, that was the huge thing of this episode.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. This chick fully took crazy pills. I just met you, and you're yelling at me like this? Are you for real?
So, I'm telling you, I'm not like Vicky. I am not cruel to Vicky. I will call her out on her lies because she's admitted to them.
Yeah.
And I will do that. Because don't think you can just pretend that all those lies didn't happen.
I do not think either of them thought that that would happen.
No.
It went so sideways.
I'm sure if, let's say, Shannon watched the season Lydia was on and Lydia watched the most recent season with Shannon, I'm sure from afar they look at each other and think, oh, she's fun.
Right. In my mind, I was like, oh, they'll totally get along.
Yeah, there's a quirky energy about both of them.
Right. But maybe you can't have too much quirkiness.
And I totally get when someone is being really passionate and they're speaking in a way that's really passionate, it can come off as like, you're putting that anger on me.
Right.
So Shannon is just trying to get the point across. Like, look, I am not like Vicky. Here is why I can't stand her. And Lydia's like, why are you yelling at me? I just met you.
Right. Right. But I do think that it was a case of like, Shannon is still really angry.
Oh, yeah.
About it. So hearing that someone would think that I'm like someone else that I like hate.
Yeah.
I would have a hard time with it. But Shannon, also, it's like you can't get mad at Lydia for saying that. She just met you. She knows Vicky. Like,
she doesn't know the full story.
And you two are very similar. That's why you got along so well.
Right.
Like, Shannon is operating in this like Brooks vacuum as if there was never a time that they were actually really good friends.
No, totally.
They were very similar and got along.
And there was a time where Shannon and Tamara did not.
Yeah.
Right, right, right.
How quickly they forget in the OC.
Right, right. But yeah, I think all Lydia was really trying to say probably was like, Vicky's just as hurt as you.
Like, right. But it's like when you're that hurt and the circumstances, like it's just, you're not going to hear that at all.
That stuff aside, that party looked amazing.
Oh my God. But as always on our shows, I had a very like, she's not going to remember this.
Oh, guys. No, totally.
But it's for the family.
Yeah.
What I loved about Lydia, though, is she just is like, we're not going to get along. I don't want to talk to you anymore. I'm done. And I was just like, yes. Like, because I feel like a lot of these women get indulged to say whatever they want and they go off and go off and go off. And I loved seeing someone just like shut it down.
Well, I think people in general are very yesers. Like they just want to make the conversation peaceful and like continue in like a nice way. And Lydia's just like, no.
Yeah. Absolutely not. What about the part when Tamara was, like, talking about Shannon when she's, like, right behind her?
Awkward.
I just want to say something. I love you dearly. Shannon's a little bit upset that you said that you reminded her of Vicky.
It was so awkward. I loved when Lydia was, again, when Lydia was just like, can I just talk to you? You're literally right. It'd be like if I was talking to Grace, who's sitting literally right next to us, and I was like, so anyway about Grace. Like,
right.
It'd be so weird.
So weird. When Shannon walked away, though, I think that just speaks to, like, where she is right now.
Yes, yes. None of this is about Lydia.
None of it.
It's all about Shannon.
Oh, my God. But I was like, what? When Shannon goes, Vicky's still talking about me? We're not friends anymore. Sounds like someone's obsessed. And I want to be like, Shannon?
Right. I mean, they're both obsessed
they're
with
both
each other.
They're both obsessed.
Yeah.
And just because, like, when you're angry, it doesn't go away right away. Well, like, it lasts.
Of that same note, literally the line of questions to Lydia was like, oh, I saw Vicky the other day. She's like, oh, you saw Vicky? Did she talk about me? I don't care what she said. But, here's hoping you get those 9 lemons soon.
Yeah.
And that your relationship gets out of the poop corner.
Do you feel that this house is not as good for you?
I don't know. How is the relationship corner in this house?
It's not good because you've got a toilet right in your relationship area, which means that a lot of your relationships, not just in your family, but out there in the world, they tend to be draining away. We have to fix that because that's major.
Well, some relationships need to go down the drain.
Oh, right. And next week looked really good, but I can't remember what happened on the next on.
Next week is when Shannon throws the plate at Lydia.
I can't
wait to see.
Oh.
That next on was brilliant.
What was amazing in that next on is that as Shannon is like,
seeing you tonight was a shocker.
Calm down, girl. Maybe you need some hormones or something.
Read between these lines, you f***ing bitch. This is my plate, you f***ing bitch.
Throwing the plate and saying something, you bitch. is right when the manager leans down to clearly say, like, you need to leave.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I can't imagine being in the restaurant seeing this happen.
We need to go to OC more.
Clearly, if we've learned anything.
We are here with Lydia McLaughlin from RHOC.
Yay!
Oh, my
Hi.
God. We're so excited that you're here.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, good. Every time we talk about you, we always, like,
move the shoulders.
Yeah.
I was hoping we can get a little, like, a
loose.
Yes!
So I wanted to just start off with, why did you decide to come back now?
I think I was just in a really cool place in my life. I had an interesting story to tell. My husband and I just started a magazine, Nobleman Magazine, and I have a blog, OC Lydia. And so we had cool things in our life to talk about that we felt comfortable talking about. I left the show and had a baby, and the baby now is 2.5. So, you know, is not as attached to me. And so it just was the right time. Every year we would have the conversation, you know, should I come back? What's going on in your life? And this was the year where it was like, this is what's going on and I'm ready to tell it. And so away we went.
How is this season different than your first and coming into it as, you know, not a rookie anymore?
Yeah, I mean, everything is different about this season. The relationships with the girls are different. I mean, the girls are different. It's only Vicky and Tamara are the same. So that is 100% new in those friendships and relationships. And I'm different. It's been 4 years. And so I've changed and grown and used my experience. So I would say that, you know, everything about it is different.
Wouldn't you say
everything.
That?
I mean, right?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Sure.
I mean, it's still me in a situation, but everything is different. All the girls' friendships are different. They're at different places in their life. So it's a new story to tell.
Right. I can't imagine coming in from when you were, when Tamara and Vicky were like the best of friends, to this now.
Yeah.
Had you had any idea that that was going on?
No, I really didn't. I didn't keep up with everything. And I think that that was hard for me. Like, that's what I say to Tamara at the Bible study on my first episode is, like, my last memory are you girls laughing. And Tamara got married and Vicky was a bridesmaid. Like, that was the last time I saw them, a bridesmaid at your wedding. And now you don't even want to talk about her. So, I mean, that's a huge shift. And for me, it was really like, no, there's a lot of love there. You guys are family. Talk it out. And that's really where I was coming from, coming back, was thinking, okay, we can resolve this. You just need to talk. And you'll remember, you know, all the love that was there once upon a time.
Have you since caught up and know everything now? Like, did you go back and watch?
I don't think anyone will ever know everything between the two of them and what's happened on camera and off. But I am caught up. I definitely, you know, we've traveled together. I come on the scene and I hadn't seen them really besides a handful of times over the last 4 years. And now all of a sudden we're hanging out every day. So yeah, of course I understand their relationship or lack of relationship a lot better now.
I can't remember. Did you ever meet Brooks? Were you at the beginning?
I was. So I've met Brooks. And at my reunion, Brianna comes out and talks about Brooks being a jerk. And then Vicky says she'll never see him again. And she broke up with Brooks. Nice. That was my last encounter. So now coming back, she has a new relationship with this man named Steve that I meet the first night. Once we don't see it, but after we're done filming, we all have a drink together. So I meet Steve the first time I see Vicky. So for me, that they're all still talking about Brooks, I wasn't around for all, like, I guess apparently she got back together with him and the whole cancer thing happened or didn't happen. But I don't know any of that. I'm not involved. I wasn't around.
So you were just on Watch What Happens Live.
Yeah.
And Vicky's son-in-law, Ryan, called
in
and said he would smoke a peace pipe with your mom.
And Vicky got all teary-eyed.
Is that the first you had heard from him since
that? Yeah, so you will see. I see Ryan, I think, twice this season while we're filming. And I had made amends with him already. And so to see him now calling and apologizing was really good because I don't like drama. My mom doesn't like drama. That whole thing was just so upsetting. It was a little bit of a reason why I left. Like, you're attacking my mom and she's not even on the camera. And but, you know, it was in the past and I didn't want to bring it up again this season. But I think everyone wanted an ending to that. And so I'm glad that we all got to have it.
I'm sure he wanted an ending to it, too. It's
totally. Like, he's like a dad. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. he's a dad. He's a husband. I don't want to drag anyone through the mud. You know, he made a mistake. Let's move on. Let's move forward. And I was so grateful and glad that he accepted responsibility and wants to move forward.
Yeah.
So it was good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, definitely.
I was very happy to see that.
He spoke my mom's love language.
Yeah. I want to talk about that conversation with Shannon at Tamara's granddaughter's party.
Let's do it.
I mean, what was going through your mind?
What was going through your mind? I know. Can you tell me what you thought? I know what I thought.
Well, we were saying this, and we just loved that you just shut it down. Like, we loved your reaction to it. It was like, actually, I don't need to be a part of this. I'm not going to have you yell at me. And no. And it was something that you don't really see on Housewives a lot.
We've been on both sides ourselves in terms of, like, sometimes you are talking about something very heatedly, but you always need to say, just, you know, this isn't about you. I know I'm speaking loudly. I know, like, this has nothing to do with you. I'm just very upset. So, like, I've been on the other side of it where I'm just like, all of this negative energy is coming at me and I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, no, I left that party really upset. I think, my husband came and we went home in the car and I, like, started crying because it's hard when someone's yelling at you like that. And I felt like she did not understand me. She didn't understand what I was trying to say. I really was going there to be, like, I didn't want to be shady and have this dinner with Vicky and then meet Shannon and just be like, hey, nice to meet you. I wanted her to know, like, hey, I'm friends with Tamara. She's told me great things about you, but I'm also friends with Vicky, and I think you both have been hurt. I, like, let, you know, you hurt her, she hurt you. Like, let's all move forward. That was really what I wanted. My intention was to say, and I felt like she did not allow me to finish my train of thought. All she heard was, you're just like Shannon, and then she screamed at me, and she never would let me. Once she got something, it was like she never let me finish. She just heard this one phrase, which I felt I never even said. I don't know her. And P.S., she is nothing like Vicky. They're totally opposite. They're both loud and big personalities and a little bit nuts sometimes. But aren't we all? Like, that's, I mean, whatever. So, I mean, I agree with her. You're nothing like her. Exactly. But she would never let me finish. And then she walked away. So, you know, that's Shannon.
We talked a little bit about Peggy, but I just wanted to talk about her, you know, entrance, what you think about how
I'm excited to see Peggy and her unfolding, and she definitely is confusing at times and opinionated and strong, and you will see a lot of the women having issues with her, and she has a backbone, and she sometimes finds it hard to find the words to express herself, so I'm curious to see the fans' reaction to her, and I really love her. I think she's a good girl. She's a great mom. She has a great marriage. Her husband is awesome, and it's a hard group of women, and when they're attacking you, to see, you know, does the person go low or go high, and I think Peggy goes high, so I admire that.
I don't know if you know this, but we had spoken to one of the Bravo execs about your return, and he was just so excited that you were coming back. We asked him, like, who's the one person you wish didn't get away? And he's like, Lydia, ironically, and she's coming back. She's going to be this, like, sparkly, bright light and this kind of, like...
I think it's hard. It's hard for sure. I mean, even the episode where I meet Shannon, I'm trying to be a light, and that gets misread as, like, trying to, you know, be a pot stirrer or whatever. And so... Yeah, I want to be a light. That's my goal. And sometimes it's hard. The world is a dark place.
Well, they clearly really wanted you back after your first season. Mm-hmm. How was it hard saying no?
Oh, of course. Yeah, it was really hard to say no. I mean, it's like the world on a platter. And then it's not just like, okay, no, goodbye. And then it's, you have meetings and you talk to everyone. You explain where you're coming from. And because I kind of was like, maybe I just need a break and I want to have more kids and it's just not for me right now. I feel like it broke me a little and I needed to just focus on me and what I'm about and recenter. And I knew that I couldn't, we were going to start filming in like a month. I needed more time off than that. And so I feel like I'm back and I'm stronger and I'm like focused on what I want to focus on. And I hopefully can get through this whole season of everyone's opinions and still be a little bright light.
And Gretchen comes back this season.
She comes back to one episode. She comes to Vicky's birthday party. And we've remained friends. She's come to a lot of my Nobleman magazine launches and things like that. So Slade and her ride bikes by my house and they'll stop. So we've kept in contact with each other. And she doesn't get along with Tamara, obviously, super well. So she comes back, I think, to maybe talk about that to Vicky. Mm. I don't know. I wasn't there. I like saw where this was going and I was like, ooh, I gotta go, bye. babysitter called me.
I wanted to ask you, we saw in the super tease, but about this like drag king moment you all have.
Uh-huh.
How did that come about and what is it for? Because we don't know yet.
Yeah, we all go to a drag queen bingo night. And so we show up, it's for charity, and we show up to Shannon's house. And she has outfits for everybody so that we don't know what we're going to wear and we have to dress up ourselves.
Because yours was the most interesting.
Well, I'm a not-so-nobleman.
Oh,
that's cute.
That's good. Because I think that they were being sweet. Like, they were trying. They knew, like, ooh, this is going to be hard for Lydia, yeah. Like, after Bible study to go to Drag Queen Bingo Night in West Hollywood. So let's give her a not so nobleman suit and tie. But I look like Liza Minnelli and Charlie Chaplin mixed together. Like,
it was weird.
Let's be honest. Like, they all have really cool, like, working construction workers. And then I'm friggin' Charlie Chaplin from 1927. Like, what is happening?
I was like, Lydia's a beautiful woman. As a man,
I have delicate features and they don't translate well, right? My husband, I sent him a picture and he was so disturbed. He was like, I can't believe you filmed. And what is so funny is the girls, of course, get into it with each other and they're yelling like about very dramatic things and they're dressed as men. It's nuts. They're having these serious conversations with each other and I just kept getting up and leaving. I like called an Uber that night, I think like four times.
Oh my gosh.
Amazing.
I just wanted to leave.
Thank you so much for
coming.
Thank
you for having me, ladies. I loved your questions, and thanks for letting me explain myself and more of a peek into me. You guys are very gracious with your time.
And quick note, Lydia's mom is in the room.
Yes.
And we're such big fans.
Yes. Yes. She's supporting me like always.
Okay, you guys. Lydia left, and she was lovely and awesome.
Of course.
But then she came back.
She came back.
And she gave us Nobleman, which is beautiful.
It's a beautiful, thick magazine. It looks very expensive to make.
Yeah, as Megan says, it's very expensive to make.
Jeremy Renner's on the cover.
He looks super hot.
But guess what? Lydia's mom also came back.
And she confettied us.
She confettied us. We put it on our Instagrams.
We're just like, I am so happy now. Like, I was having a tough day, and then I got confettied, and just everything was great. She pinched us for humor. It was just like
everything
best
you'd ever want.
Yes. I mean, I'm just so happy right
strangely
now.
Strangely, I also felt the urge to, like, rest my head on Lydia's mom's bosom. Like, she just seems like such a comforting woman.
Right.
Who, like,
right,
you just want around always.
Like, come to mama.
Yeah, exactly.
And you just, like, lean on her and your confetti. We're literally, like, sitting in confetti right now. There's so much of it.
Yeah.
I got extra confetti that she gave me.
And the interview was so good. We're splitting it up into two parts.
It's so good, you guys.
Because we got to talk to her about this week's episode, which is amazing, but next week is like the episode you cannot miss, so we had to get her reactions to that.
In the words of Lydia, it's taken a year off her life.
Right.
So
2 years.
Moving across the country.
Yes.
To New York City. Because Mexico is finally here, and I couldn't be happier.
I couldn't be happier, and yet, upon watching this episode, my blood pressure was elevated the entire time.
Oh my god, I wish we could, like, monitor your blood pressure during it. And
yeah, the like the beep, 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 beep. Because I'm sorry, Ramona was, like, on a 10 this whole trip.
Literally, at one moment, she goes, bleh, at Tinsley. And I was like, what is actually happening?
Ramona, you barely, like, you weren't even invited on this trip. You invited yourself.
Right.
And yet, still, you go and take the personal villa for yourself.
Well, no, not just that. She first, There were so many steps of this. Like, first, of course, they went and ran to, and put their bags down, which, by the way, I have a personal story about this, and it's one of my, like, proudest moments of my life.
We'll get back to that.
I was ready to go into it.
Oh, you said... Okay, go ahead.
So when I went to study abroad in Italy, I had this, like, amazing apartment. Like, I will never live anywhere that nice again in my entire life. I was, like, on the Arno, like, on the Ponte Vecchio. It was insane. And we get there, and I'm in a house with, like, six other girls, and we each get assigned a roommate, but not rooms. And the woman is taking us on a tour through the house, and as that's happening, these two girls put their bags down on, like, the nice room's beds. And then we end, and they're like, okay, well, we picked our rooms. And I was like... No, absolutely not. That is not how it's going on. I could have put my bag down too. I assumed because we are adults, it would be a discussion. So then I made us pick out of a hat, just like Bethany. And then we got the best room because, as Bethany says, karma will get you.
Did you guys ever get along after that?
No, it was like, and then that began. But they were already assholes. So, like,
right.
It just, but we got the best room. We had a balcony. It was awesome.
That's cool.
So we won in the end. Anyway, I had the exact thing happen.
That's a good story.
I loved the moment when Bethany was like, everyone's forgetting that this was all completely fair. I mean, there were so many things they did. They went in early and tried to get the room on their own. Then when they got a bad number, they tried to guilt Tinsley into giving them her number.
Like, how dare you? You owe us.
Right. And then attacking Dorinda and Carol. And then refusing to take the room that they got because it had stairs. It was like five things they did that were wrong.
It just made me so mad.
Yeah, it was just crazy to watch. Like, I couldn't imagine, because you can't reason with them. You can't be like, but this is a fair system or anything like that. But the only thing I thought of during it that I was kind of seeing Ramona's side is if she had not been the way she was this entire time and just from the beginning been like, oh, there's two beds in this room. It makes sense for me and Sonia to have it. Like, that makes sense to me that they would be in the Jack and Jill, like, the double bed.
Right.
But, like, that could only have happened had from the beginning be like, hey, we checked out the rooms. I saw this room has two beds. Could we have it because there's two of us? Like, right. That's all they would have to say.
But not be like, oh, Carol and Dorinda, we're now forcing both of you to stay together.
Yeah.
Even though that's not what you want. Like, it was crazy.
Every season it's like that, but this was definitely the, like, craziest it's ever been.
Well, I can tell you, Ramona does not get off the hook for that at the reunion. It's a huge point of contention for Bethany.
Oh, my God.
It makes me so happy.
But then I want to talk about my other favorite moment from this episode, which is Luann falling not once, but twice. Literally within, like, minutes of each other. She, like, falls in the bushes. But that kind of is just, like, happy there. Like, it was, like, I brought me so
those
much joy.
Those men that had to fish her out. I'm just, like, what they must think. I just wanted an interview with them.
But it just, I think this episode really showed that, like, how different alcohol affects you. Because I don't think we've ever seen Luann, like, tequila drunk.
Right.
And, like, tequila clearly does something different to Luann.
Makes her a little giddy.
Yeah. I mean, this is why I love tequila, because I think it always giddyifies everyone.
My favorite part was when Ramona's like, I don't know, I see the best in people. Maybe I'm naive. And Luann goes, you're naive.
Maybe I'm naive. And all I know is
that.
Okay, I am naive.
It just was so amazing. This is why I love Luann.
I know. Can Bravo please do us the favor of making one whole episode that's just them
drunk,
out of their minds drunk?
Yes. I mean, that kind of was this episode. Oh, I did mention, why are you an ass? Like, I love Bethany's just, like, done with Ramona.
I know.
She's literally just being like, why are you an ass?
And thank you, Bethany.
It's a group
gorgeous.
Trip. Why are you saying
No. The house is amazing.
Why are you an asshole?
Thank
I just
you.
Want to know why you're an asshole. So she said thank you to me because I organized the trip.
No, your house. No one's house.
Yeah.
Could you imagine saying that to someone? It would feel so good.
Yeah.
I just, now that's my life goal. I hope you know, Bethany. My life goal is now to just like point blank ask someone why they're an asshole.
Why are you an asshole?
It's so good. But there were three housewives on this week because Potomac ended.
I know.
It was sad. But we learned so much in this episode.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you something since you were there.
Yes.
Okay. So they kind of made a big deal about how Juan must have been really upset to be there. He didn't seem that upset to me.
I think interviewing Robin that morning, she was like, it took a lot to get him here. Like, it was a lot of convincing. He really didn't want to come. He really hates filming. Like, he just didn't want to go there.
Yeah.
But he seemed like okay.
Yeah, I mean, he came off fine. There was nothing that was like, oh, what a jerk. Like, they're clearly just two people trying to figure out what to do that's going to be best for their family.
Right. I did think that it was a bit, I think the whole purpose of him coming on was to show that, like, he's there for her and he's going to support her. And there was, like, a moment when he was like, I'm not going to let you say this is all Juan Dixon's fault. Like, there was two people in this marriage. And it seemed a little like, but you cheated, dude. Like,
Siggy says that too, though.
Yeah.
She said it last week. She was like,
it reminded me of what Siggy said.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know what my point is except to say that maybe there's a little truth in that. Like,
right.
But yeah, never cheat is the lesson.
Yeah. But I hope that they can work it out. I'm like Giselle. It's like, I hope that they're good together and I hope that they can like find love again. I think it's just really hard going through what they went through to find love again.
Totally.
But speaking of finding love again, Ashley and Michael.
Are they finding love again?
That is the question.
Okay, so tell me what the mood was in the room when they revealed it.
Well, like, Giselle says she didn't know, or someone says, like, oh, I had no idea.
Can I just say one thing first? That breaks my heart. And we didn't know.
Did any of you know this?
I kind of had a feeling just because of text messages back and forth.
We sensed it, but them not, somebody moving out, like.
Would you have supported her?
Yeah, I want you to feel like we got your back. I mean, because that's huge.
You could feel that they were all in shock when they said that they were separated. Like, everyone, and I don't think even all of the producers knew, because, like, where I was sitting, everyone was like, what? They're 3 months separated? She doesn't live with him anymore? That's crazy. Because I knew that, obviously, we all knew they were having problems, but I had no idea she had moved out.
Right.
Like, they were keeping that super close to the chest. So,
I mean,
like, no one knew.
So it's, you know, sounds like she's ready to get back together. And as Karen and Giselle pointed out, it sounded like maybe he's not there. What
right.
do you think?
We were talking in the control room, and that's kind of was like the consensus of like, we think that she's super ready to move on, but he's still like, he's just in a different place in his life. As he says, you know, I think he really wants to start like moving into retirement, and she's just starting on her career. So I think that they want different things, and I don't know why they didn't think about this like 4 years ago when they were in this May-December romance.
Right.
But that is definitely the biggest point of contention for them, I think. But I think that she does want to be with him.
Yeah.
I think that maybe she didn't think she would, and then the time apart made her realize that, yes, absence does make the heart grow fonder.
But I also feel like the other layer to this sad onion is that he supports her mom.
I know. When she said that, I was like, oh man, this is super complicated.
Right.
Because there's probably resentment built up in that, and then the restaurant isn't doing well, and no wonder he was so angry. And I didn't realize that that's why he was so mad about Oz that
oh,
day.
Oh, right, yeah.
Is because she had invited the other ladies. And he's like, you're inviting these women who just, like,
yeah.
bashed our restaurant, which I totally get from mm-hmm. his point of view. So it was a really eye-opening into their relationship. I was also shocked that Chris had no idea the way his mother talks about Monique. Ugh. Like, that was super hard to watch.
I mean, she is a saint to me because when Andy goes, is the door still open for your mother-in-law? And Monique gave a look like, no. And Chris goes, oh, come on, that's my mama, of course. And she just didn't say anything. I would have been like, fuck no. Like, I don't care.
Right. If she called me a heifer.
Right. Go handle your mom.
I spoke to them backstage before the men came out, and I asked Chris, I was like, did you have any idea? And he was like, oh, no. So I was like, oh, I couldn't tell you guys, obviously, until right now when we saw it on air, because I knew they were going to use that. But I just was like, I can't imagine.
Not good.
No. And then Mr. Blue Eyes.
What the heck?
I know. It was very complicated.
I mean, I love a bodyguard reference, though.
Oh, I know.
I mean, people say you have a boyfriend. Do I talk about that? Blue what? Eyes or whatever his name is. Oh. Do I?
Oh, talk about that? You talk about security again?
You know what? I hear about it all the time.
Whitney Houston.
Would you
the
like?
Bodyguard.
I think in the copy I wrote for this site, it was like, who is Mr. Blue Eyes and what does he have to do with Whitney Houston? Or something to that effect.
Don't you think they're reaching, though?
I think that at this point, they're just trying to hurt each other.
Right.
Like, maybe that was a rumor years ago with this bodyguard guy, but he's apparently still around? I got a lot of questions for Miss Karen Huger. But they all seem to end on, like, a good note with each other.
Yeah, I mean, they seemed confused, too. Because Andy asked, do you feel like you got anything resolved? And half of them were like, yeah. And the other half were like, no.
Well, I will say, though, I was there after the reunion, and I caught up with them, and I asked, like, where are you all going? Oh, what are you all doing after the reunion? And I asked each of them, and they were all going to, all the men were hanging out in the meatpacking together. So, like, they were all just going to go across the river, because we were in Jersey, and, like, hang out.
So, oh, like, so that's a ray of hope.
Yeah, and I went to the bathroom, and they were in the bathroom, and it was, like, kind of serious.
But you don't know about what?
No.
Do you really not know about what?
No, I do know, but I can't talk about it. But the Potomac fun doesn't end here. We actually talked to Giselle, and here's that interview. Hey, guys. It's Rachel, and I am here with Giselle Bryant.
Woo!
Yes, high energy at this early morning.
Yes.
So, how have you been since the reunion?
I've been good. I feel like a sense of relief that is over. Season two is behind us. We can now move forward.
Right.
Yes.
So you think everything kind of, was there a bow on everything? Or do you think there's still some?
There's still some lingering, of course, because nothing ever ends. And there's some things that I didn't get to say that later when I went to bed that night, I was like, dang it. I should have said X, Y, and Z.
Can you give us a hint?
Probably has to do with Karen.
Mm.
And it probably has to do with Ashley.
Okay.
Yes.
Good to know. I want to talk to you a little bit about just filming this season versus last season. Like, coming into season two.
Yes.
How was it different? Did you learn anything between the two seasons?
Season one was easy because we didn't know what we were doing. Mm-hmm. So we were just, like, having fun. It was a free-for-all and let the chips fall where they may. Season two, it was like, okay, we know what we're doing. And It was tough. It was actually tough for me because I feel like I wasn't ready. We came off of the reunion and we just started filming again, and I just needed a timeout of no cameras. But you know me, I got right back in the swing of things, and the shades just started falling out of my mouth. But it was fun. Like, once I got back into my groove, I really had a good time. And, you know, it's easy. It's easier now, I think, because we know each other so much better. So we know each other's crazy and we know how to push those buttons. And I love pushing them. Oh, yes.
So a lot of, like, things that happen on Watch What Happens Live or off season ends up coming into this season. How does that work? And, like, do you ever watch something and then you're like, oh, man, I wish I could have addressed it?
No, because if there's something that I need to address, I do. It was interesting because the fireman story started the season and it ended the season. So kind of vindicated Giselle was at the end of the season when Karen threw that out there. But I was ready for it to be over. Mm-hmm. And then Karen brings it back up again. So I think the fireman's going to live with us forever.
Do you know if Karen knew that she had been caught on the mic?
She says, because I asked her immediately after I saw it, I called her. And she says, oh, no, darling, I always know what I'm doing. I knew that the mic was live. Giselle, please, there's no way they can ever catch me. Okay, Karen. No, she didn't know. Okay.
So after all that, no, absolutely not.
Right.
So, with Ashley last season, Monique this season, mm-hmm. you seem to kind of clash with the new ladies.
Do I? Really?
Is that something that happens for you when you meet new people, or do you think it just happened to be these ladies?
I think that when I met Ashley, she was very young, and she was hyper, and she was humping people, and that bothered me. Okay. So then here comes Monique, and she came in the middle of the fireman drama, and all kinds of just junk. And I just didn't feel like Monique, and she won't stop talking. So it was just difficult for me to, like, let my guards down and really get to know her.
Mm-hmm.
So it took time.
Well, speaking of Monique, what did you think about that outfit?
My gosh. Yeah. Why? I just didn't get it. It wasn't funny. It wasn't cute. It was cheap. I mean, if you're going to wear a whole Indian garb, like, let that thing be bad. Like, that was cheap. It was, like, probably cost her $12.99 from, like, the Party City. It was tacky. No class.
Okay.
The end.
So we do a fun thing on the show. Instead of a Sophie's Choice, we have a Sophie Stanbury's Choice.
Okay.
After one of our ladies of London.
I know her.
Okay.
Yes, I'm familiar.
If you had to live in Karen's old house
yes.
or her new house,
yes.
where would you live and why?
So do I say Sophie's Choice would be?
Yeah, you can say Sophie's Choice would be.
Okay. Sophie's Choice, I would live in her old house because it's closer to civilization and stores. And it's, even though it's a little outdated a little bit, it's still more up to date than her new house.
Really? It's more up to date than the new one?
Yes.
Did you see any more of the house other than at the party?
No, she would not let me. Like, she was holding me down with all of her might. She would not let me look anywhere. Because, you know, I was going through it. I was like, let me see it. But, no, she wouldn't. But I'm going to go, whether she likes it or not. And I'm looking for her parents. Because, remember, that's why she said she's there.
Right, well, I was going to ask you about that. So mm-hmm. what did you think of, at the reunion, she kind of, I feel like, came prepared with an explanation.
She did.
What did you think of it?
I didn't understand that either, because her parents could easily fit in her old house. So it didn't make any sense. So I need to see her parents in the new house, or else I'm just going to have to call her a liar, and her parents are on hot fire.
Yeah, and then at the reunion, they were saying that Great Falls is actually only like 10 minutes away
from Potomac.
From Potomac, so that logic there didn't make...
It doesn't make any sense. Mm. So if you're going to come up with a story, shouldn't you have come up with a better one? She should have called me. I could have made up a good one for her. You know what I mean? I'm her girl.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, I feel like you all have a good bond. Like, you're going to help each other out.
Oh, yeah. If you're in a bind, I'm going to help you. If you are supporting a charity, I'm going to show up. If you just ask me to show up for anything, I'll be there. Now, when I get there, I might act a fool, but I will be there.
Okay.
Yes.
Moving on to the house husbands who were there.
Yes.
Sherman was there. We saw for a moment.
Sherman was in the house. You know, he had his hesitation and reservation, as he should, just as a man that has no desire to be on television in that way. But, you know, there comes a point in a relationship where if we're really going to be together, then you got to... You gotta, you know, get mic'd up and get in front of a camera. It is what it is.
Does he get along with the other house husbands? Did he meet them that day, or has he met them before?
No, he's met them before. He gets along with Juan. He's known Juan for years. He had just recently met Chris. I had a birthday party in which everyone came except Karen, of course. And So he got to meet Michael, and Michael had just come back from Bangkok, and Michael wanted to tell Sherman all about the transvestites that are in Bangkok. It was a very weird conversation, but that was the introduction of Sherman and Michael.
Okay. quite the introduction.
Yes, it was very weird, but I mean, all good, and he likes them. So we've done a lot of things with all of the guys, so, you know, they have a good rapport, which is great.
Good. Speaking of Juan, I had spoken to Robin in that morning, and she was like, Juan's supposed to come, but we'll see. Were you surprised that he came?
At the reunion?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. No, I wasn't. I mean, I knew. She told me before we left to go that he was coming.
Okay.
So I think probably he was at the hotel like, do I really want to do this? Am I really going? Am I getting in the car? Okay, I'm in the car. Okay, I'm going to get out the car. No, but he showed up, and I feel like he really supported Robin, and I feel like... I mean, they're in it for the long haul. I just don't see them not together.
Mm-hmm.
And though it's dysfunctional to us, it's nothing that I would do. I feel like that's their story, and I'm gonna support it.
Okay. And so did you think, because I felt like he kind of was, when Andy was asking him about cheating allegations, didn't take all of the blame. Were you surprised by that, or?
I think he owned it. I think he said, you know, he's made some mistakes. I do think that he's correct. It takes two in a relationship. And if you're in a relationship and you're not getting the love, well, then you're going to get the love somewhere else. That's just is what it is. So I don't think that there's anything that Juan said at the reunion that Robin is not informed of. This is never the first time that Robin has heard whatever is coming out of Juan's mouth. So, you know, it is what it is. I just want to see them get to a better place.
Good. Yeah, me too. They seem so good together.
Yes.
And they clearly have such a deep love for each other.
Right.
It's like they've known each other for so long.
Right. And Robin, I mean, Juan is not going to find another Robin. That's as good as it gets for him. So you better hold on to that thing for dear life.
So, I feel like there's so many reunions happening.
Yes.
But this is it for Southern Charm. Mm-hmm. We saw the second part of that reunion this week.
We did. First of all, I didn't know that Chelsea was on Survivor.
Oh, you didn't?
No. Was that like common knowledge?
It was on BravoTV.com.
Ah, damn it. I work here. That's very embarrassing. Which I was like, interesting.
It makes sense though, because I'm always like very, I'm always admiring how good she looks in a swimsuit on the show. Like, she's a really nice body.
Because she didn't eat for, like, a month on Survivor.
Yeah, and, like, I don't know. Like, just, I think you have to be somewhat fit to be on Survivor.
Oh, no, totally. It made sense to me, too. I was like, well, no wonder she was on, she's so fit. She was on Survivor because you have to be, like, you're going in to survive. Like, you have to be in good shape. Like, it's called Survivor for a reason.
Yeah. We just have to survive the subway each day.
Right, that's hard enough. That's why I keep not in shape. do you think that Catherine and Jennifer can be friends?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Here's why. Because I think there was just a lot of miscommunication. Although I don't know.
The stand thing.
Yeah, but see, I forgot about that because that was last week. So yeah, I don't know.
I know, I don't know either. But she seemed to be cracking Catherine by the end of it.
Yeah.
What did you think? Something that stuck out to me that might not have stuck out to everyone was the whole Landon flirty behavior. It's not okay to flirt with someone's boyfriend. It's inappropriate. What do you think?
1,000% agree.
Oh, right, because this happened with Humpgate on Ladies of London. So, okay, like 2 years ago on Ladies of London, there was that whole unicorn humping incident.
Oh, right, yeah.
And I remember you were like, absolutely not. I would not be okay with it.
Because I can't remember now. Because I just feel like in flirting, and look, I know that there's such a thing as innocent flirting, and I do believe that, like, sometimes, myself included, you're just talking to someone of the opposite sex and it comes across as flirting when what you mean is completely...
Not that.
Not that. However, watching the stuff with Landon, I did feel like she was maybe into Austin.
But at the same time, isn't it on Austin to not reciprocate?
Oh, totally.
Okay. It's
yeah. But you know, girl code.
See, as someone who's a flirty person, I feel like it's not my fault if your boyfriend is flirting with me.
So even if it was, like, Aaron.
But I would think that it would be, like, there would be no way that it meant anything, you know? Like, it's so not a thing that it couldn't even...
But, like, you wouldn't sit on his lap.
No.
Would you FaceTime Aaron 3 times a day?
No, I wouldn't FaceTime Aaron 3 times a day. That, again, would be weird. But I do think that maybe it seemed kind of iffy because they were so up in the air. But because they were so up in the air, not to pull, like, the Shep defense, but, like, what does it matter if you guys aren't even anything and maybe they had a better connection?
That's true. I think it was more about, because sometimes it's not even about, like, I'm worried that so-and-so's going to fall for it. It's more like,
don't you care about me as like a friend, you know?
Right,
and
right.
So maybe that's what was hurting Chelsea's feelings.
Right, right. Girl code again.
Yeah. But we know how Landon feels about girl code because she told us in last week's episode. Check it out.
And I just want to end on, I will always and forever want Thomas and Catherine to end up together. I know that's a controversial opinion.
It is a controversial opinion, but it's an understandable opinion.
Yeah. I just think that, like, if they both work on themselves and work past their issues, then they could be the best.
If there was such a thing as a pill you could take that, like, took out your angry streak, and they both took it.
Right.
I think they'd be a match made in heaven.
Right. Because I do think when she said, I get him more than anyone else, I think that that's true.
Yeah.
I hope.
I'm going to work on that pill.
But goodbye, Southern Charm. We will miss you until you return again, hopefully. But in the meantime, relationship.
Yeah. And Southern Charm New Orleans.
Oh, yes. I can't wait to watch that.
I just hope it's like women flashing the whole time.
I can't imagine it being anything else.
I want to know what everyone's thoughts on that Real Housewives of New York Vacation Part 1 episode. Because I have so many strong feelings. As do you, and I want to know what the audience thinks.
And what was your favorite part? Was it Luann falling in the bushes? Because it should be.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously what that's going to be. What's the part that drove you crazy?
And we didn't even talk about Ramona's face. So tweet us your thoughts about it.
At Bravo TV and use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
You can always find me at Rachie Robb.
And Meg Segura for me.
You can always find this show on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Amazon Alexa, and basically anywhere you can listen to podcasts.
But not Spotify.
But not Spotify, because Grace is sleeping on the job. Bye!
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me.